Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Yes, we are upstate and downstate, but we are one state because we are New York. Yes, we are black and we are white and we are brown, but we are one state because we are New York. Yes, we are rich and we are poor, but we are one state because we are New York.
To New Yorkers of a certain age, it'll be like old times saying Governor Cuomo again. But will it be like old times in the way he governs? Let's begin our morning after coverage with WNYC's Ozzie Pabura, who didn't get much sleep, and Columbia University Government and Politics Professor Esther Fuchs, who also served as a special advisor during Mayor Bloomberg's first term. That was two terms ago. Good morning, Ozzie. Good morning, Esther.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So, Ozzie, after all the shouting, Cuomo beat Palladino by a whopping 27 points, or 61-34%. In a year when people are skeptical of entrenched Democrats, do you think it would have been more of a race if Rick Lazio had won the Republican nomination?
In hindsight, which is always 2020, it's hard to imagine the race being further apart if there was any other candidate. Palladino was in many ways a very flawed candidate who ran a problematic campaign after a very brief honeymoon. So any other candidate seems to have possibly could have done better.
And listeners, your reactions to any of the results in New York State, also if there are any that you haven't heard yet and you want to know what they are, some of the votes for state senate, for example, are still being counted. We don't know which party will control the state senate. But anything you want to say or ask on the Schneiderman race, Schneiderman elected attorney general, DiNapoli elected New York State comptroller, anything around New York State to start out in our first segment here, WNYC's Ozzie Pabura and Columbia University professor Esther Fuchs, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post online to our politics website. It's a freecountry.org, where we also have a survey question that you can answer that asks you the biggest reason that Democrats got slaughtered in the congressional elections. Post your answers to that at itsfreecountry.org. Esther, you know, Palladino did carry some upstate counties, and I think that's worth noting. In fact, more than 60% of the vote went to Palladino in places that people downstate know nothing about. Cattaraugus County, Allegheny County, Chautauqua County got 62%. Erie County, which, of course, Buffalo, he got 57%. In Niagara County, near there, he got 65% of the vote. Orleans County, 60%. Genesee County, 60%. Wyoming County, wherever that is, Carl Palladino got 68% of the vote. What does that mean about some parts of New York State?
I actually think that doesn't reflect much about Palladino at all, but these are typical counties of upstate New York who have historically voted Republican. And frankly, that's not a huge blowout for a Republican candidate in those districts, which, as we know, are districted for Republicans and also have just no record of supporting Democrats. I mean, the election itself reflects partly the historical trend in New York State, which is, you know, we just are increasingly a Democratic state. Now, clearly, you know, a moderate Republican is the one that would have a chance in a statewide race because you've got to pull votes from Westchester and Long Island and even from the New York City areas like parts of Queens and Staten Island, which would vote moderate Republican. But when you have a fringe candidate, that's my polite way of talking about Palladino. We'll call him a fringe candidate. At the top of the ticket, you know, he clearly dragged down the rest of the ticket. It was a sweep for Democrats at the top of the ticket in New York State. I don't think there's any other state in the union that did that.
Right, meaning the attorney general, the comptroller, and both candidates for U.S. Senate. Nobody expected it to be close with Chuck Schumer, but Kirsten Gillibrand didn't come into this race with a whole lot of enthusiastic, passionate support, even among Democrats, and that turned out to be a blowout. You attribute that largely to Carl Paladino.
To partly Carl Paladino and the weakness of the Republican Party in New York State, really not, you know, the victory of Paladino in the primary kind of speaks a lot about what's happened to the way we nominate candidates. You can win with an excited base that tends to veer, you know, ideologically. For the Republicans, it's going to be to the right. You have the Tea Party in there mixing it up. And in New York, a candidate like that, Paladino, of course, is an extreme version of it. So, you know, Andrew Cuomo certainly lucked out in that regard. But a candidate like that cannot win in a statewide race.
Right.
There's simply not enough people living in upstate New York anymore.
Well, that's it, because if Cuomo was able to win the whole state by 27 points, and there were these pro-Paladino blowouts in all those upstate counties that I just read, it means nobody lives there in each of those counties. But Ozzy, it also, I think, reflects that for the people who do live there, these are desperate times.
It is hard to imagine things being worse for upstate. The population is decreasing. Economic activity seems to have been something that is, you know, almost a distant memory at this point. And there really is this sense that a schism between upstate and downstate. You hear people upstate, you know, saying that too much focus and resources come down to New York City, and you hear New York City people, you know, scratching their heads at why there are things like, you know, prison facilities upstate that seem to operate more as job centers than actual providing public services.
Gene in Orange County, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Gene.
Yes, good morning. I was just calling in to comment on how well Kirsten Gillibrand ran, and I think it's a testament to what you're talking about, upstate, downstate. It'll be one of the lasting legacies of Patterson having picked that upstate conservative Democrat, and I think she's going to be a power.
Esther Fuchs, reaction?
Well, I do think she ran a lot better than anybody expected. You know, it's always good to be underestimated, whether it's in politics or in life, frankly. And she was terribly underestimated. And I think she was an effective candidate. She certainly, you know, did not have significant opposition, so you can't really ignore that fact. But I'm also convinced that she's much more of a player and a contender in the next round of politics, not just in New York State, but nationally.
In what way? And we should point out that this was Gillibrand's first statewide race. She was appointed to the Senate to fill out Hillary Clinton's term when Clinton became Secretary of State. There were a lot of Democrats in the more liberal part of the base who did not like Kirsten Gillibrand. She was able to get elected statewide. So again, this was the first time that New Yorkers in everywhere but her old congressional district had the opportunity to vote for her or against her. So what do you mean you think she's going to be a force on the national stage?
I think she is a moderate Democrat. And in this environment that Chuck Schumer is a moderate Democrat, too, in some regards. And in this environment, I think that will play a lot better. The left wing of the Democratic Party, its base, has nowhere to go. So they are going to support her. She, you know, was strong on the issues that most people who are liberal care about, which are abortion and choice. And she took that position early. She flipped on gun control, which was also important to city voters. And then if you listen to her speak last night, she hit, you know, all the right notes. She talked about, you know, bringing back the family to the center of politics. And I think at the end of the day, it's family and it's jobs and it's, you know, talking about your grandmother and the values that she represented. And this is what people want to hear now, of course, coupled with a very aggressive approach to bringing jobs to New York State, which, by the way, has been her hallmark. She's been all about the jobs. She talked about high tech. She talked about not sending the jobs overseas. She, you know, this is what people want to hear. How we're going to do this, of course, is a different question. Yeah. But that's really the center of American politics right now.
All right. Somebody to watch. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. We're breaking down election results first this morning with WNYC political reporter Ozzy Pabura. and Esther Fuchs, politics and government professor at the International and School of Public Affairs at Columbia University, former advisor to Mayor Bloomberg. Our next guests, by the way, will be Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner of Queens and Brooklyn and Republican Congresswoman-elect Nan Hayworth, who beat John Hall in Westchester and points north. So that ought to be interesting. And Lenore in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I voted for Howie Hawkins, I believe is his last name, the Green Party candidate for governor, because I really liked what he had to say in the debate. I didn't watch the whole debate, but I happened to catch him, and I liked him. And I'm not very enthusiastic about Cuomo. However, I must say that if I thought that Cuomo might actually have lost, I might not have voted for the Green Party. But my question is, how is it decided that Green Party or third party candidate parties actually get on the ballot for the next time? How is that
done? Great question. And we know now that the Green Party will have a ballot line for the next 4 years. Ozzie, I was looking at the totals for governor for minor party candidates, since we all paid some attention to that on this show during the race. And the biggest minor party candidate was Howie Hawkins of the Green Party. He just got 1.4% of the vote, but that was more than 50,000 votes, the threshold to give the Greens an automatic ballot line in the state for the next 4 years. As I read these numbers, the Libertarian Party did not get to 50,000, so they won't have a ballot line. Neither did Jimmy McMillan, by the way, of the Rent is Too Damn High party. And maybe the biggest surprise, Ozzie, is that Charles Barron, running to the left of Andrew Cuomo, as Howie Hawkins did, came in dead last with only 20,000 votes, or 0.5%. Your reactions to any of that?
The laughter that you might have heard is strictly an analytical laughter at those results. If you want to start with Charles Barron, he was surprisingly outshined by Jimmy McMillan. And for those of us who have covered Charles Barron in the city council and are used to his very charismatic, flamboyant way of holding the center of attention, it was sort of remarkable to see somebody else taking the spotlight away from him, and that was Jimmy McMillan. With respect to how does a minor party establish themselves in terms of getting a ballot position, you get at least 50,000 votes. Howie Hawkins reaches that threshold. And it means for the next 4 years, the Green Party gets to offer their ballot line to candidates who are running throughout the state. It's sort of remarkable that a party that has sort of like come in and out of favor with the public sentiment runs a candidate who, by most people's standards, wasn't really part of the conversation that was happening at the top of the ticket, and he creates a party for himself.
Peter in Syosset, you're on WNYC. Hello, Peter.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if you could speak to the issue of the controller's race and why Governor Cuomo and apparently the Democratic Party did not stand behind DiNapoli, and what it means now that he did win, the governing. Is it going to have any effect?
Esther, anything on that?
Sure. DiNapoli won because of labor support. There's just no question that labor turned out to vote for him. And
does that
Cuomo,
include public employee unions?
Public employee unions especially, but also 32BJ in New York, which are the janitors and the doormen. And if people don't know that, they are probably the best organized political union in the state right now.
And I wonder what you think of this as you know, say I characterize you as, you know, a liberal, but certainly you were with Mayor Bloomberg and you're pragmatic and you want to see good government. Do you think the state would have been better off in some way in these times when it's so important to change Albany and hold Albany's fiscal feet to the fire to see a Republican in the office of comptroller? Harry Wilson did get the mayor's endorsement. He did get the New York Times endorsement, and maybe even attorney general as a watchdog for another party.
You know, it's interesting. This is a difficult one because I actually do agree. I think in principle it would have been good for the state to have a Republican in there or
somebody from the, and he ran on the Independence Party line as well, but a non-Democrat in there, given our history of corruption in that office and all across the state. And Harry Wilson had, I think, particularly excellent set of credentials for that position. Having said that,
he was a Republican, came out of a hedge fund, but also worked for Obama to help restructure the auto companies.
Smart guy and understands finance. DiNapoli, you know, was appointed by Shelley Silver. He obviously seems to be a decent person and bright, and it's sort of like caught between all of this need to have the balance of power and somebody who's done a decent job in the position. But I think you're right. I think it's unfortunate to have this kind of dominance of all Democrats at the top, particularly when we have an agenda that requires that we clean Albany.
And, Ozzy, briefly to the caller's specific question, did Andrew Cuomo leave DiNapoli out to dry?
Absolutely. He refused to appear with them. He refused to endorse them. And the one thing about wanting a division of power, if you just look at party labels, yes, they're all Democrats. But if you just scratch beneath the surface, they're not all the same kind of Democrat. Cuomo ran in many ways as a Republican, almost as a Rockefeller Republican, socially liberal, fiscally conservative. And Tom DiNapoli embraced the more traditional components of the Democratic Party, labor unions. So they're going into office under the same banner, but clearly not sitting at the same table.
So maybe enough bad blood now that he actually will be an aggressive watchdog.
That's one way to put it.
I think that's kind of not an effective argument, to be honest. They're not all – this is true. They're not all the same Democrats. DiNapoli needed labor, and he had to run that way. Andrew Cuomo didn't need labor, so he didn't have to basically create a campaign that addressed all their issues. And he also knows he's got to do something about the pension funds to govern. He has a particularly difficult set of fiscal issues to confront, and unions are in the center of the problem for him. He's got to get those contracts renegotiated or the laws changed. The state can't afford to do it right now, to pay these kinds of pension funds. So he had no choice. Are they, you know, different Democrats? I don't really think so.
Esther, Governor Patterson was on our election coverage last night, and he said in these fiscal times, there really is no Democratic or Republican way to be governor of New York. Do you agree with that?
Well, that's a nice thing to say, but I don't think it's really quite accurate because at the end, you have to make choices in budgets, and budgets reflect political priorities. And so, yes, we have to cut spending, and we've got to deal with the issues of taxes, but the question is going to be who gets cut. And frankly, it's going to be ideology and priorities and your vision for the future and your party that will affect your view of what needs to be cut.
All right.
It's much easier to grow the budget, right? You make friends that way.
Sure.
Cutting is where, you know, the rubber meets the road, and who you really are is reflected in those cuts.
Now, before we risk never uttering the name Palladino on the show again, as he perhaps sinks into Western New York obscurity, I want to play about a half a minute from his, I guess it was a concession speech last night, but if you weren't up late enough to hear this, folks, this was unforgettable.
Let me tell you a lesson I learned on this campaign. You don't want the media noticing you. It ain't pretty. And it sure ain't fair. Luckily, the New York Times was able to confirm Duke's dog license at City Hall.
Now, if you were able to hear that, folks, they were chanting, cancel the news. And I spoke to a reporter from Buffalo who said they were actually turning toward the journalists at the back of the room and kind of, you know, waving menacingly, not really menacingly, but hostily toward them, yelling, cancel the news. Ozzy, they're talking about you.
Oh, no. it's not uncommon to have a failing candidate sort of blame the media for their own failings. And as someone who's, you know, videotaped, tweeted, and written about Carl Palladino's statements, it's just fair to say that when you put a spotlight on someone who is not a disciplined candidate, who says things out of context and later apologizes for them and then questions whether or not they even said it or meant to say it. You know, there's always an effort to put the focus on someone else.
People want to know, Ozzie, if the Working Families Party got enough votes with Andrew Cuomo on their line to have their 50,000. I assume they did, but do you know?
I don't know for sure, but it would be very surprising if they didn't.
They were well over 100,000 in the last cycle, so I would be pretty sure. We'll try to confirm that for you, those of you who want to know. And let me take one quick call. We have Congressman Anthony Weiner standing by, and then Republican Congresswoman-elect Nan Hayworth from Westchester and Points North. But Joyce in Manhattan has a quick fact question. Joyce, go ahead, real quick.
Do you know what happened to, I think his name is Scott Murphy and Kirsten Gillibrand's old district?
Scott Murphy appears to have lost.
The Republicans picked up at least four House seats, Joyce, in New York State. The city has a Republican House member again, Michael Grimm, defeating McMahon in Staten Island and part of Brooklyn. Nan Hayworth, who'll be on, beat John Hall in Westchester and Points North. That seat. Where Scott Murphy lost, and Arcuri further upstate also lost, but Democrats Tim Bishop and Carolyn McCarthy both held on in Long Island. Esther, 30 seconds, really 30 seconds, reaction to the House flips in New York State.
I actually think we're better off having some Republican representation in this House right now since
really?
The Democrats lost their majority.
Mm-hmm.
So New York City and New York State needs to be represented, so it can't just be King out on Long Island. So that was a good outcome for the state.
You've been close to the mayor. You think he's going to run for president as an Indy in 2012. How did his endorsements list do?
His endorsements actually did very well, except I think for McMahon, who he endorsed in Staten Island. I think he had about an 80% rate. He went for mostly moderates, both from the Republican and Democratic parties nationwide. He had a big win with Lincoln Chafee in Rhode Island, as far as I can tell. And will he run or won't he run? We have to ask Kevin Sheekey.
All right. I'll ask Kevin Sheekey. Esther Fuchs from Columbia University, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
WNYC political reporter Ozzie Pabura. Get some sleep.
Thanks.
Congressman Weiner next on what happens with Republicans in control of the House.